David, the shepherd king and writer of the Psalms, had a friend who betrayed him, Ahithophel. And this friend, Ahithophel, knew the importance of a person's state of mind. He knew that David's inner thoughts would influence his performance in battle. So he advised Absalom in the rebellion, "I'll come upon him while he's weary and discouraged and throw him into a panic, and all the people who are with him will flee. I will strike down only the king." We might have a plan, a scheme, but if we become despondent and downcast with little faith, then we're as good as defeated too. Remarkably, David knew the secret of overcoming the failures that inner thoughts could bring. He could say in Psalm 61, "From the ends of the earth, I call to you when I begin to lose heart. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You have been my refuge, a tower of strength against the enemy." Today, David would have been excommunicated from almost every church because of his adultery. In most countries of the world, he would have been imprisoned or executed for his complicity in the murder of Uriah. He would have been questioned by the police's organized crime department for his protection racket. Worse still, if living today, he would have been brought before a war crimes tribunal for killing prisoners in cold blood. And last but not least, there would have been protests against him by animal rights supporters for crippling war horses. Yet we as Christians enjoy and appreciate David's Psalms, and we share the emotion and the heart's cry of the songs as they appeal to God for help and praise him for his goodness. God spoke to him and through him, and speaks through him to us this day. Although David's failings, to put it politely, are disappointing, he had a mighty spiritual experience and a tremendous understanding of who God is and what he can do. We must never dismiss a person from our thoughts and prayers as unworthy because of their present behaviour. God warned David and limited his plans because of his behaviour. But God didn't cast him off, even though it wasn't his conscience that drove him back to God for mercy, but the challenges of the prophets, Nathan and Gad. These were no doubt brave men who would dare to rebuke an autocratic ruler. In the New Testament, we read about Paul, who persecuted and murdered a Christian before his conversion. But after his conversion, his life changed. But time and time again, we find that David failed morally over a period of many years, even while he loved God. We must ask a question. Why was David's weaknesses seemingly overlooked, but not King Saul, who was the king prior to him? It was true that King Saul was readier to excuse himself, and David was more ready to acknowledge his fault and fall on God's mercy. And it would seem, reading Saul's history, that he was two-timing God and David was out and out for the Lord. Yet it was not only the grace of God, but also the purpose of God to be fulfilled, that Israel should become a strong nation, worshipping God alone. Was it grace or purpose? It was both. The Lord bless you.